preach about the Lord coming back, my uncle would always say, man, what a great day that would be. And he'd say, in his own mind, he'd say, I'm not ready for the rapture to come yet. I've got things I want to do. I've got things I want to see. I've got things I want to experience. And my uncle wants the rapture to come, and I don't want the rapture to come. But now he's got cancer, and he's dying. And he said to me, Brother Jim, I understand now what my uncle was talking about. But the problem is, he understood it too late. And so here's what preachers are trying to do, especially when we come into a chapel and we're preaching to younger people. We're trying to get you to see things from an old man's perspective. I'm 63 years old. And I look back on my life and I say, now as an old man, I remember when just before my dad died, he said, I wish I had done things differently. And Solomon in this book, he's telling you, don't be that guy. Don't be the guy that said, I want to have fun while I'm young, and I'll give God what's left over at the end. Don't be that guy that says, I wish. We have a song we sing sometimes that says, I wish I had given him more. I wish I'd have done that whenever I was younger. So Solomon says, look around you, even as a young person. Look at the wind. The wind blowing here and there. It goes in its circuits. He says, look at the rivers. Look at the sun every morning. Let's see, 7 o'clock this morning, the sun came up. Somewhere around there, right? And around 6 o'clock this evening, the sun's going to go down. Says, look at that. That happens every day. Says, the wind blows, and it blows in a circuit. We were talking today, whatever the weather is here today, tomorrow it'll be in Kentucky. It's amazing the way things work. The rivers, if you look at the rivers, the river runs out of the mountains, the snow melts, or the springs feed the rivers, they run down into the ocean, the sun beats on the ocean, the water rises up as vapor out of the ocean, it circulates around, goes back to the mountains, and drops rain and snow up in the mountains again. And what does it do? It makes the rivers. Everything runs in a cycle. And so Solomon in chapter 1, he's talking about the vanity of human life. Everything just runs in a circle. You know what the word vanity means? It means empty. It means something that has no real value. And if we live our life just for ourselves, as Solomon did most of his life, he comes to the conclusion at the end, it has no value. It's vain. It's empty. All this stuff I thought was valuable is no longer valuable. Chapter number 2, he talks about why we get tired of the world. He said in verse 17, I hated life. I hated all my labor. I did all this stuff. I would say if you look at chapter 2 and study it, you're looking at the... Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but you're looking at a guy that experienced the drugs and alcohol and unlimited so-called freedom. And he gets at the end of it and he says, what a waste. I look back at my life and I hate what I did. I hate what I've become. Is that the way you want to look at your life? Oh, I did it all. I had it all. I tried it all. That's what Solomon said. And I hated my life. I regret. I wish I had. If I could just go back and do it all over again, what would I do differently? You don't have to be that guy. In chapter 3, Solomon gives us a little ray of hope. He says, you know, as a young man, I wanted it all and I wanted to experience it all. But sometimes, even if you live for God, here's the idea that the devil wants you to have. If you live for God, you'll never have fun. You'll never get to do the things you wanted to do. You'll never be able to drive that fast car that you wanted. You'll never be able to have that big pickup truck with all the buttons and whistles. You'll never be able to have a nice vacation. And he says, you know what? God may give you. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. And there may come a time when God will bless you. But do it in God's time. Don't force the issue. God has some things for you, but you need to make a determination and you need to do it now. And in verse 3, chapter 3, be content with what God gives you. Whatever it is, Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased, as we heard last night at church. God can take care of it. He can give us a lot. He can give us a little. And Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I can be content. Be content with what God gives you. And when we prove that we can be content with a little bit, God may give us a little bit more. Chapter 4. Here's the problem, though. Sometimes God gives us a little bit more, and then we begin to misuse it. There's a temptation. Over and over, a pastor can attest to this, that a man will come into the church and get saved and get baptized, and he'll begin to tithe. And this man was a poor man, and because he honored God with his money, God began to bless him. And he began to prosper, and then he began to miss church. And then he began to get away from the Lord. The misuse of what God gives. Chapter 5 begins to talk about our communion with God. He says, even in religious things, even in going to church, even in devotion to God, we can get out of line. Even our worship can become vain if our heart's not in it. Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to go to church and do everything God wants. I tithed and I did this and I did that and God still didn't bless me. There's the tendency. I tithed 3 times in a row and I still have my credit card bills I still got to pay off. And so even if we serve God with the wrong motives, even that can be a problem. We move on to chapter number 6. It says, there's the vanity of amassing wealth. Just getting rich just to get rich. You know, there's rich people that don't serve God. And they got rich anyway. There's Christians that got rich and dropped out of church because of it. Because the goal was just the wealth and not what the wealth could be used for and who could be blessed by it, who could be helped by it. Chapter number 7 gives us some good advice. Talks about what you do if you become the victim of vanity. And most of us become the victim of vanity. Wanting something that really doesn't have any value. Wanting something that doesn't really last. You know, Brother Hanks talked about the judgment seat of Christ a little bit last night. And everything's going to get burned up. Here's the way I look at it. I need a house to live in. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. And so we work a job, or we maybe teach here in a Christian school, whatever. They give us a paycheck every month, every week, every 2 weeks, however that works out. And we take most of that paycheck. You know what we do with it? We pay the mortgage on our house, or we pay rent. You know what's going to happen someday? All that's going to get burned up. Most of what we spend our life doing is going to get burned up. You know that nice car or nice pickup truck? Nothing wrong with having that stuff, but that's all going away someday. All that money you've put into that was, those were necessary. We need a place to rest. We need shelter from the weather. We need some mode of transportation to get us out to do the work that God has us. It'd be kind of hard to go out and have a bus route over in Topeka if you didn't have some way to get there, wouldn't it? But that's going to all burn up someday. What doesn't burn up? What doesn't get destroyed in the fire someday? It's what we did for Christ. It's the things we did that glorify God. And so we have this idea. What do we do to keep from becoming a victim of vanity? And then verse chapter 8, it's some practical wisdom on how to keep from becoming a victim of vanity. What to do? Verse chapter number 9 shows us the common state of all men. You know what that is? Someday, who's the youngest one here?
Aaron
is the youngest one here. How old are you, Aaron?
4
years old. As much as we hate to think of it, someday, Aaron, he's going to die. Now, probably not anytime soon. We have the high school here. Every one of you someday are going to die. Have the college here. Someday you're going to die. Sooner or later. Have the teachers here. Have the preachers. We're going to die. We need to remember that. We need to be conscious. Someday, I'm not going to have another chance to do what I knew I ought to have done. The common state of all men. Chapter 10, here's some just cute, wise sayings to help us not to fall into folly. You know what folly is? It's doing stupid stuff. Folly, foolishness, stupidity, not ignorance. Ignorance is excusable. Doing stuff we know we ought not to have done, but we did it anyway. Folly. Yeah, but if I do it, it's not stupid. No, it's doubly stupid. Okay? And so we have some common sayings that might help us. Then chapter 11, works of charity. Giving of your time or of your resources can be a cure to keep us from falling into vanity and folly. It's a way of preparing for death. You know, I don't know many people that say at the end of their life, I wish I hadn't have given God so much stuff. I wish I hadn't have served God so much. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You guys that have been around this a little bit, been around somebody that's dying, and they're laying on their deathbed and maybe breathing out their last words, do they say, I wish I hadn't have given so much to God, or do they say, I wish I'd have done more? Charity. You know what that means? Giving because you love. Motivated by just this desire to do something for God. And if we could just get this into our hearts and understand this, that giving time, giving of our money, or giving of whatever it is that we have to serve God can keep us from falling into this vanity. Because what we do for God, that's the only thing that lasts. That's the only thing that has real, lasting value. Now we get to chapter 12. My message, I said, is do it now. And if you look in verse 1, it says, remember now. When? When are we supposed to remember now thy Creator? Remember now thy Creator. See, Solomon was not writing this to old people. Old people already know this stuff. He's writing this to young people. This is an old man looking back over his life and regretting some of his life's decisions. And he's saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember it now. Well, I'll serve God later. I've got some things I'd like to do. You older people, you got to have your fun. Why don't we ever get to have any fun? Can I tell you this? A lot of the things that this world calls fun is not really fun. There's a lot of things that are tied to that stuff. There's a lot of hooks in that bunch of pretty flowers that we want to go chasing after. And they get you hooked. Heard of hooked on drugs? A lot of people thought that was fun in my day. Then they were hooked. Remember now. Why now? Why in the days of our youth? Why can't I serve God later? I know some old preachers that are serving God and they're doing a great job for God, and praise the Lord for the old people that are serving God. Better than the old person serving God is the old person serving God that started when he was a child. A whole life of service to God. Let me show you why you don't want to wait till you're old to serve God. Look at a few things in this chapter here. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. You see, evil days are coming. I'm over 60. I'd say we got a couple other folks here might be over 60. I don't presume. Some of you just look like you've had a rough life if you're not over 60. But you don't have to wait to 60 to start experiencing some of the stuff Solomon's going to describe here. He says, well, when the evil days come not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen, you teenagers, you can go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and wake up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You can sleep and sleep and sleep. Am I right? All right? You'd rather stay up a little later, but if you went to bed at 10, you still don't want to get up at 6 in the morning, do you? You'd really rather sleep and sleep and sleep. I remember those days. Doesn't happen anymore. I don't have a whole lot of pleasure in sleep. It hurts right about there somewhere. It hurts down here sometimes. Something happened to me at about the age of 40, 42, somewhere around there. I started having to carry these stupid things around. I see you just fine. But I cannot see the words on this page without this. What happened? Well, it says here, look at verse number 2. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, our eyes go, can't see so good. You know, the sun shines just as bright for me as it does for you. But to me, I can't see as well as I used to. Here's what he's talking about. Don't wait until you can't see anymore to serve God. Don't wait until I'll wait until I don't have any treasure in life, then I'll serve God. Don't wait until you can't enjoy life anymore to serve God. Give God that. That energy and vitality that you have right now, that's what He wants. He doesn't want you to wait until your joints are bad and you got to have a knee replacement every 3 months or a hip replacement. That might get you by for another few days. Or until you got to have a heart transplant or a kidney transplant. Don't wait that long. Remember now thy Creator. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. I've noticed as I've gotten older that I'm afraid of things. I don't know why. Things that never used to bother me scare me. If you look on down here, it talks about that a little bit more. Verse number 5, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. I used to be a derrick man on an oil rig. I used to love it up there. I mean, sometimes I'd be up there and they'd call me down. I'd just jump off and grab the drill pipe and slide down that drill pipe 90 foot down. I wasn't afraid of heights. The higher, the better. Now, I get up on a roof and something happens to my legs. I'm not as steady as I used to be. Well, don't wait until then to serve God. I'm going to serve God the rest of my life. That's my plan, okay? And I'm glad that I gave Him the years that I gave Him. But I'm glad I didn't wait until I couldn't do anything for Him before I started to serve Him. Well, God can use anybody, and He can. And God will use you as long as you continue to suck air into your lungs and turn that air into oxygen and breathe out the CO2. That's a science lesson, okay? You get everything whenever I preach. But as long as you can do that, God can still use you. But why did He say, remember now, when you're young, to serve God? Because you have so much you can give. Us old people, we may not be able to get up on that roof and fix it, but you can. There's things coming in your life that you don't want to wait for it. And the doors be shut, verse 14, in the streets. When the sound of grinding is low, you know, your teeth start to go. You can't grind it anymore. It's hard to enjoy a good steak when you only got two teeth. Right? It's hard to enjoy it every time you bite down on something, your dentures come loose. Don't wait. You have a, go if you would to 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'll give you an example of this. 2 Samuel 19. David is about to return to his kingdom after being chased off by Absalom, his son, and his son Absalom is dead. And this guy that took care of David, that supplied his army with goods, look at what he says in chapter 19, verse 32. It says, now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. You know what 80 is? That's 80 years. Every score is 20, okay? So 80 years old. He was 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Go ahead, you took care of me, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you the best that the king's table can offer. Your life is just going to be easy. Everything you could ever want, I'm going to give it to you. Now look what Barzillai said. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live? that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? I can't even see good. My eyesight's gone. Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? I mean, food doesn't even taste good anymore. I can't even enjoy it. I just eat so that I don't get hungry. Can I hear anymore the voice of singing men and singing women? I'm going deaf. I can't even hear good. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? You see, that's what's down the road. I'll wait till later. I'll serve God later. I want to do something for God, but there's some things I'd like to do with my life right now. I'll just wait. Okay, then comes the day. Okay, God, here's what you got. I'm deaf, I'm blind, I can't taste anything. I can't do anything. I can't go out and walk the streets anymore and hand people tracts. I have no energy. I don't sleep good at night. A little bird, when it chirps, wakes me up in the middle of the night. It says here, what are you going to do? When are you going to serve God? You say, well, Brother Jim, we're all in a Christian school. We're all in high school at a good Christian school. We're all in college. Yeah, but you need to determine still. I went to school with guys, Bible college with guys, that said, I got a good job over here at Firestone. I'm just going to go ahead and work at Firestone. And whenever I get all my bills paid off, then I'll serve God. I'll come back to college. And they never came back. I know guys that grew up in a Christian home and went to a Christian high school, and they said, I'm just going to take a couple of years off. I'm going to make a little money. I'm going to enjoy life a little bit. And then never came. Or it came too late. And they sit back at the end of their life and they say, I wish I had given him more. I wish when I was 20 years old or when I was 18 years old or maybe when I was 4 years old, I had taken the time and made the decision and said, I'll do it now. When are you supposed to serve God? When? Now. Because someday, look at this, verse number 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, that cord that holds body to soul. Or the golden bowl be broken, that urn that holds the water. Oh yeah, but they got medicine for all that stuff, right? They got medicine. Okay, maybe they can keep that golden bowl ticking or that silver cord attached somehow. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. But what if the pitcher gets broken at the fountain? He can't deliver it. Or better yet, the well be broken at the cistern. You can't even draw it up out of the well. You know, I don't care what the doctors do. When it's time to die, you're going to die. You're alive today. Right? You're alive today. Now is the time. Now is the time to serve God. Let us hear the conclusion, verse 13, of the whole matter. Fear God. That's the beginning of understanding, wisdom. Fear God and keep His commandments. That'll keep you out of trouble. For this is the whole duty of man. God shall bring every work into judgment. You know, serving God now, He's going to consider that. That'll be judged. You know what I'm saying? He's going to say, they gave up their youth to serve me. They gave up the best years of their life to serve me. God considers that. They didn't say, I'll wait till later. I'm going to do it now. When do we serve God? I'll do it later. Please don't do that. Please don't wait. Please don't put your service to God on hold until you get whatever it is you think that's so important. God may give you that anyway. I got to see the world because I gave my life to God. I got to be a missionary to Romania. And along with that, I got to travel all over Europe and preach in churches all over Europe. What a blessing. And some of the things I thought I'd never get to have because I gave my life to God, oh, what a sacrifice, God gave me anyway. God is so good. You'll never get to the end of your life and say, I wish I hadn't have given God my life whenever I was so young. You'll never say that. Let's pray.